This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'ana wa anfa'ana bima allamtana wa zidna ilma. وأرنا الحق حقا ورزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا ورزقنا اجتنابه وادخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين آمين يا رب العالمين. أهلا وسهلا everybody to day 16 of our fiqh of salah classes and ولله الحمد we've really actually completed كتاب الصلاة and now we have كتاب الجنائز, right? So alhamdulillah we finished the ruling of the prayer, the إقامة, the أذان, the condition of the validity of the prayer, صفة الصلاة, description, the pillars, such as the sahu, we've covered that. التطوع, voluntary prayers, jama'a, the prayer of the marid, of the sick, al-qasr, wal-jama', shortening and combining, we've covered that. Salat al-khawf, the prayer of fear, salat al-jum'a, Eid prayer, salat al-khusuf, or al-khusuf, we've covered that. And salat al-istisqa, the rain prayer, we've covered all of that, alhamdulillah, it's all online, you can review it, bi'idhnillah, and we're planning to have like a test and like for everybody, bi'idhnillah, maybe in 3 weeks when we finish Kitab al-Janaz, we'll do all of it together, bi'idhnillah, and I'll share these slides with everybody, bi'idhnillah ta'ala. So today, bi'idhnillah, we start Kitab al-Janaz, the chapter of funerals, and we have a few topics, washing the deceased. طبعاً, we'll talk about kind of janazah, what does it mean, the significance of it, some of the rulings about the dead person, right? What is recommended? Washing the body, shrouding the body, the deceased. The salat, the funeral prayer, we're probably gonna cover that next week with the burial and visiting and mourning the deceased. All of this is in this chapter. طبعاً, someone might ask, what does this have to do with salah? Why do they include it with salah? Well, because you have Salat al-Janazah, right? Salat al-Janazah, right? And it makes sense to include that with it. And so they include all the other things that come with Salat al-Janazah, right? The actual, the person, the deceased, and all the things related to it. And this is something that the fuqaha do continuously. طيب. Well, I've got some questions here. Let's do some review, inshallah, for last week. Last week, we covered Salat al-Eid. طبعا العيدين, the two Eids. We've covered Salat, what else? Salat al-Khusuf al-Kusuf and Salat al-Istisqa. Just quick questions. What is the ruling of the Eid prayer? Who remembers the ruling of the Eid prayer? Try again. Fard kifaya. Ahsant. Fard kifaya. So this is something that it's a communal obligation, right? A group of people do it, then that is sufficient, right? It's sufficient. Some of the ulama saw it as wajib, yani individual obligation, and some saw it as highly recommended sunnah. The Hanabila, they said that it is a fard kifaya. Regardless, يعني, if you can go, you should go, right? And the Rasulullah recommended even the women who are not praying, he recommended them to go. So you can understand the significance of the salah. When is it prayed? When is the time frame? We said time frame. Salat al-Eid.
First of all, the shams.
We literally said, So we said literally like the duha time, from the duha time, after the sun rises 15 minutes after that, until zawal, you can pray Salat al-Eidain. What is the ruling of the eclipsers, Salat al-Kusuf or al-Fusuf? Eh? This is a sunnah, yeah, sunnah mu'akkada, a highly recommended sunnah. And how is it done? How many rak'ahs is it?
Two
rak'ahs. Yeah, so two rak'ahs, two full units, and every unit has two actual ruku'ah, okay? Two actual bowing, right? When you bow, ruku'ah, there's two of them in every full unit. So eventually you're going to pray, you're going to do four ruku'ah, right? And it's a long prayer. You read long surahs, tamam? And it's done during the time of the eclipse. Any individual can do it at home, we said, but it's more recommended to do it in congregation. When is the rain prayer done? Like, when is it mashru'? When do you do rain prayer? Whenever you feel like it or something has to happen?
When there's a fasting.
Yeah, so it's called Salatul Istisqa. Yeah, And in Arabic, usually when we have the prefix, okay, ist, طلب الشيء, to ask for something. So you're asking for rain. So it's when there's, yeah, a drought, a well has gone dry, a river has gone dry, a lake is going really low, and it looks like, or like the crops are going bad and there's no rain. This is when Salat al-Istisqa is done. Cool. Now remember what we did last week. طيب, نبدأ إن شاء الله. So, كتاب الجنائز. تمام. طبعا, جنازة, what does جنازة mean? If I asked you guys, if you heard the word جنازة, what's a جنازة? طبعا, جنائز is the plural of جنازة. جنائز is the plural of جنازة. What does جنازة mean?
Correct.
إيش الجنازة؟ ما هي الجنازة؟ نعم؟ أعطيني whichever one you want to know. So usually it refers to two things. Either the actual body, it's called the janaza, right? The actual body is called the janaza, right? And that's what they call salat al-janaza, because you pray on that body. Also they say al-janaza, as some say janaza, jinaza. Like there's two ways to say it. Some say that this is what the author is saying here. That actually the Sheikh Khuzdun, the Sheikh Ahmed al-Qu'aymi, the Sharih, he says بالفتح تطلق على الميت جنازة, right? It's talking about the dead person, the deceased body. وبالكسر جنازة على النعش إذا كان عليه ميت. And نعش is the thing that you carry, the coffin or whatever you want to call it, that you carry the casket, يعني, or whatever that you're carrying the dead with. That's also called janaza or jinaza, right? And some say both of them are correct. Naam.
So is it from the jannah or jina that said you?
Allah alam, I'm not sure. I can't comment on Allah alam. I'm not sure what the real root is. طبعاً jannah يجنّ, I think covering, صح? To cover something.
To hide,
naam. صح. Naam. جن عليه عليه الليل أو the jinn they're called jinn because يعني it's you can't see them. نعم أحسنت. الله أعلم. طيب, so obviously this is a time for us to kind of step back, تمام, and when we talk about الجنائز, and every once in a while if you have يعني if you're on the Facebook groups for the جنائز here or your the WhatsApp groups, literally every day or every second day, every third day. This is janazah here locally. I'm talking about locally. يعني طبعا overseas, يعني how many people die every day. يعني الموت is a حقيقة. Subhanallah. You know, people will debate about anything. كل شيء. Halal, haram, this, that, religion, God. But nobody can deny death. Subhanallah. It's a حقيقة. Nobody, this is one of the things that there's ijma' of the whole humanity. Right? Subhanallah, actually, this reminds me, one time I was in the bus with a co-worker, a very old man. And we were talking about religion, and he wasn't agreeing with me. So I started like stepping back, trying to find common ground. And I said, let's talk about death. Something that, I said, death, this, something that we all agree that is going to happen. He said, I'm not sure about that. Like, خلاص, you know, this guy, he doesn't want to talk. فسبحانالله, يعني, some people will debate. وكان الإنسان أكثر شيء جدلا. سبحانالله, the human being, they just like to argue. لكن الموت is a حقيقة. سبحان الله, it's a حقيقة. And you know, أينما تكونوا, Allah سبحانه says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من سورة النساء, أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت. Wherever you go, موت will come to you. يدرككم الموت. الموت is the فاعل, the subject. It will come to you. You don't have to go. It will come to you. سبحان الله. ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة. Even if you are in well-fortified fortresses, or under the, you know, in a bunker or whatever, الموت سيأتيك, subhanallah. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told us, أكثروا ذكرى هادم اللذات. Remind yourself about the destroyer of pleasure, which is الموت, subhanallah. And so this is حقيقة. Al-Quran talks about الموت multiple times. And when we talk about, you know, كتاب الجنائز, this is, يعني, it's a good time for us to remember death, تمام. Some people like to say, no, why are you trying to ruin the mood, etc. But like, this is something that we have to remind ourselves about. Every one of us, one day, it will be said that, you know, are you going to Hamza's janazah? Are you going to Muhammad's janazah? Are you going to Abdullah's janazah? Yeah, you know, and you can put your name in there. It's going to come. The day is going to come where we will be put 6 feet under and nobody's going to care about you. Everyone's going to go back to their life. All your wealth, your children, your health, كل شيء, it's gone. And you will only be there with your good deeds, subhanAllah. But this is something It's a good time for us to remember death. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every person, every soul will taste death. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallam, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ. He said in the Quran, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. You are going to die and they're all going to die. Basically, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ, you are dead. This is ماضي. Okay, يعني, this is his hal. You are dead. You are a dead man walking. Our time is already set, and every one of us will have to pass and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that, let's start with Kitab al-Janaiz. So the first thing the Mu'allif talks about, okay, he says, تَرْكُ الدَّوَاءُ أَفْضَلْ. So now he's talking about الدَّوَاء, like treatment in curing yourself, medication. This is an interesting mas'ala in fiqh, actually, because there's a debate about it. Is it wajib for you to medicate yourself? يعني you are sick, okay? Whatever it is, يعني you could talk about like, I have a headache, يعني is it wajib for you to take Tylenol? Always, it's not wajib to take Tylenol, okay? You can be patient with that, and that's not a big debate, no big deal. But what if it's something serious? And if somebody has a serious illness, is it wajib for him? Like, is it obligatory? Like, am I sinful if I don't take the medication? So this is a big mas'ala. In the madhab, actually, there's kind of two riwayas. When I say riwayah in the madhab, like two opinions that can be extracted from Imam Ahmad's words. Okay? That's what a riwayah means. And so in the first riwayah, they say, أَلَّا يَتَدَاوَى الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا أُصِيبَ بِمَرَضٍ وَلَوْ So they say that it's bad for him not to use medication. And now, when they go into detail, they say the one who is able to have sabr, and it's not going to affect his iman. Okay? This is one opinion of the madhab, and they take this from the Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is a big dalil, because he's from the four khulafa, and the Prophet said, take from my sunnah and the sunnah of the khulafa al-Rashidin. And who's the best one from the four? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. For Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, it's interesting, when he was dying, they said to him, are you gonna get cured, right? نَدْعُوا لَكَ الطَّبِيبِ. They said, أَلَا نَدْعُوا لَكَ الطَّبِيبِ. Shall we not call the tabib to you, the doctor? فَقَالَ قَدْ رَآنِي. He already saw me. فَقَالَ إِنَّنِي فَعَالٌ لِمَا أُرِيدٍ. I do whatever I like. يعني he didn't want to, okay? He didn't want to get cured. And some say this is أقرب إلى التقوى, okay? عفواً, أقرب إلى التوكل. It's closer to التوكل. Because we have that hadith about the 70,000. You know the hadith? What's the hadith? Anybody know what I'm talking about? يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Like they will enter Jannah without hisab. Right? And the Prophet says they don't one of the things that they don't do, they don't ask for people to cure them. Right? يستبقون وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. Right? I don't have the whole hadith memorized, but it ends with they don't ask for ruqya, and they depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have other evidences, right, where the Prophet gave people the choice. You know, do you want me to make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure you, or you want to be patient and go straight to Jannah? And so the Prophet ﷺ, that shows that it's not really, there's a way to look at it. And that's why we get the other opinion. They said that that using medication is afdal. Using medication is afdal. And this is one of the opinions of the main ulama of the Hanabila. Why they say this? Because they said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَنزَلَ الدَّاءَ وَالدَّوَاءَ وَجَعَلَ كُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءَ. فَتَدَاوَوْ. This is a hadith, and this is a command from the Prophet ﷺ. فَتَدَاوَوْ. يعني medicate yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a disease and a cure, and so you should cure yourself. Okay? So that's why, يعني, Allahu A'lam. Really, it comes at the end of the day, if you're someone who you see more benefits in being patient, maybe something is like terminal, let's say cancer, مثلاً. يعني may Allah subhanahu protect us. Cancer. 1 in 4 people, 1 in 5 people now get it. And so, you have things that are, yeah, debatable. Should chemo, radiation, these things are very harmful, right? They can make it very difficult for the person. Some people can be cured from it, but here a person might say, "Well, I don't want to suffer. Yeah, I don't want to, lose all my energy, lose all this, and die from suffering." Yeah, so they'll say, "I'll be patient, right? I'll be patient with that." And if a person is able to be patient, and it's not going to affect their iman, they're not going to start, leaving the deen and stuff like that. So that might be something that is reward. The person is rewarded with that. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. طيب. So that's an important mas'ala. So abandoning, they say it's better, and another opinion that it's okay. يجوز له, right? And some said it's actually wajib for him to take it, right? طيب. What are some of the sunnahs? Okay. So now we're going to talk about before the death. So the person, okay, طيب يقول هنا وسن استعداد للموت. Now obviously the Prophet ﷺ told us to remember death. So what is recommended for us when it comes to death? Like just read about death, like what is it? تمام. So they say from the sunnahs is to استعداد للموت, to prepare yourself for death. What does that mean, prepare yourself for death? And they sit in the white sheets and just wait for the angel of death to come. What does that mean, الاستعداد للموت? What do you guys think?
Tawbah.
At-tawbah, right? giving back the rights, right? If you've wronged someone, to ask for forgiveness from that person. Do you have any debts? Is there a wasiyah you have to write, right? Is there a will you have to write? Like, because we have the hadith of Ibn Umar, that it's not okay for a Muslim who has something, right? He has wealth, okay, to go to bed with not having written a wasiyah, right? So wasiyah is something that some of the ulama said that it's a wajib, okay, from that hadith, because that hadith makes it very, very clear that it's something extremely important. So these are things, right? Tawbah, increasing in good deeds. We should always be prepared for death. Is it possible that we die right now? Very possible. Any second right now. I might not finish the halaqah. I might not finish the slide. This is a reality, subhanAllah. We don't think about it like that. But something could happen to all of us right now and die. Ajib. Did the people of in LA expect that fire to come? Ajib, subhanAllah. Right? It came baghtatan like that, unexpected. Neighborhoods are gone. You know, some of the neighborhoods now, right? They look like Gaza, subhanAllah. Gone without even one bomb or whatever being dropped, subhanAllah. Al-maut ya'ti, you know, you don't know. I know people, okay, one of the mashayikh I used to know in Riyadh, two of his daughters, okay, they went to sleep healthy, didn't wake up the next morning. Healthy young women, subhanAllah. Allah subhanAllah tested him with those two. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that a cause for him to go to Jannah. So it's death can come anytime, subhanAllah. So you prepare yourself, right? استعدان للموت وإكثار من ذكره. Remembering death. Why from the hadith? أكثر ذكر هادم اللذات, right? And this is something that reminds us, this dunya is not here. Because this dunya, subhanAllah, you go to work, you get motivated, you start doing things, you get busy with work, career, I'm going to get a house here. And so you kind of forget about death. Death is still there. You still have to be ready. Yani technically speaking, we're not saying sit home and do nothing. No, live your life and use that as a means for you to raise your ranks. But don't get distracted from the ultimate thing that could happen any second, which is al-maut. Yani don't get distracted from al-maut. So to be ready is like, I'm ready now. I'm ready in a few hours. I'm ready in tomorrow. I'm ready for death. Yeah, and that's not something simple. That's something that needs thinking, right? Something so big, we should still sit down and think about, right? So the Rasul said, أكثروا, increase in the remembrance of death. Not just sit down and remember, but do the things that remind you and prepare you for death. And then he says, from the sunan is to, okay, وَعِيَادَةُ مُسْلِمٍ, and to visit, right? And to visit a sick Muslim, okay? And to visit a sick Muslim. And so this is from the sunan, a highly recommended sunan, right? We have the hadith, Allah subhanahu, in the hadith, the Qudsi, Allah subhanahu says, I was sick and you didn't visit me. And the person said to Allah, what do you mean you were sick? He said, one of my slaves was sick and you didn't visit him, right? And so visiting the sick is something highly recommended. He says here, غَيْرِ مُبْتَدِعٍ. Okay? So here they say that the one who's an innovator. Innovator, يعني someone who either is an open sinner. Someone who's like, does open sin. Or has an innovation in the aqidah. يعني he believes something totally, not acceptable by Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Some of the ulama, like here, they say that it is not something that is from the Sunnah to visit that person, right? And then they also mentioned the dhimmi, right? The one who's non-Muslim, who's living under the protection of the Muslims. But then they say, no, unless yurja, you expect this to maybe bring him closer to Islam, then there's no problem with that. Yani visiting a non-Muslim, I don't think there's a problem with that. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, okay? When you visit a sick Muslim, someone who's sick in the hospital, you go there and you remind him of death, right? And you remind him to make tawbah, right? So, وَعِيَادَةُ مُسْلِمٍ غَيْرُ مُبْتَدِعٍ وَتَذْكِيرُهُ التَّوْبَةُ وَالْوَصِيَّةُ. So now when you visit a sick person, okay, are you going to go there and just remind him of, you know, that, you know, you still have a house to pay off and No, you remind him, or you still have a career. You remind him what? To make tawbah, right? Remind him of his obligations, wasiya, right? At tawbah wal wasiya. Na'am. And so that, now he says, okay, you remind him of making tawbah and doing good deeds. But now what happens, okay, when a Muslim is close to death? So فإذا نزل به, okay, or نزل به, and if now it's, you can tell those who have experiences, you can tell when someone is close to dying. Yani it's like you get a feeling, okay? So it says when the person is close to dying, وإذا نزل به, okay, when a Muslim is close to death, the following things are recommended, okay? وإذا نزل به سنة تعاهد تعاهد بل لحلقه بماء أو شراب. It is recommended to give them a bit of water or a drink or juice or something like that. Why? Why is that recommended? Huh? Because, you know, at that time, the person becomes really thirsty. And what do we want him to say? Huh? To sing a song? To say the shahada. And so you want to make it easy for them. So they say, you try to make it easy because now, khalas, the person is close to death. And sakarat al-maut, okay? The Prophet says, inna fil maut ila sakarat. The pangs of death. طبعاً, nobody's experienced it unless they're dead. يعني, so nobody can tell you. But there's a pain and there's a fear and there's, you know, thirst and subhanallah. So you help him by giving him some water or some drink, right? بماء أو شراب وتنديتي شفتيه, right? To make his lips wet, right? To wet his lips with a cloth, right? And then number three, he says, وتلقينه لا إله إلا الله. التلقين is to get someone to say something, right? Or to explain something to someone. That's what one meaning, التفهيم. والتلقين is to get someone to say it, right? We say someone memorized a surah, والتلقين, يعني by repeating. تلقين is like repeating after someone. So you want to remind him. طبعا, when a person is at, يعني death is upon him, he's not thinking right. He's scared. Things are happening, right? You don't want to freak that person out. You want to make them calm. And you want to remind him about La ilaha illallah, right? Because he's not thinking properly. Think of the time when you were panicking or you got into a car accident. Or, you know, are you thinking straight? Adrenaline is high. You're scared. Subhanallah. The person might be seeing things you can't see. And maybe he's seeing the angel of death in front of him. Subhanallah. Fa you remind him to say La ilaha illallah. Some ulama say, do you say La ilaha illallah or do you say Qul La ilaha illallah? Yani, that's both are fine. So you remind him to say La ilaha illallah. Tab, how many times? And do you hold him and go say La ilaha illallah? Huh? What do? How do you do it? What do you guys think?
Huh?
Like do you are you aggressive? Are you soft?
Huh?
Because subhanallah, you know what's interesting? What's interesting? Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuthabbitna 'inda al-maut. Give us yani ease at the time of death and make it easy for us to say La ilaha illallah. We say that yani, if I told you now say La ilaha illallah, can you say it? Everyone here will say La ilaha illallah, right? Easy. Yeah? Lakin at the time of death, it's not up to you. يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. Allah is the one who gives you the ability to say the kalima. Now why say La ilaha illallah? Because the Prophet ﷺ, we have a hadith. We have the hadith, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ لَلَّهِ. Say to your people who are to your close, right, brothers and sisters who are on the time of death, لَا إِلَهَ لَلَّهِ. And he says, مَنْ كَانَ آخِرَ كَلَامِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا لَا إِلَهَ لَلَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever the last words he says, لَا إِلَهَ لَلَّهِ, enters Jannah, subhanAllah. But it's a big deal, right? طبعاً, if the person doesn't say لَا إِلَهَ لَلَّهِ, does it mean he goes to hellfire? No, that doesn't mean that. That doesn't mean that, right? Lakin when someone dies with La ilaha illallah, that's a huge sign that person, bidnillah, is from the people of Jannah. So you do it softly. And they say you do it thalath marrat, three times, okay? You do it three times, okay? And then they say if he's quiet, okay, khalas, he doesn't do it, khalas, take it easy. Because you don't want to get him to say, leave me alone. And I'm sure you've seen videos or stories from people who dealt with these things. It gets to a point where a person's like, get away from me. Yani maybe someone who's not very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've heard stories like some of the mashayikh, they're saying like a person was on, and they told him, listen, say la illallah. They would put some Quran. And because he never was used to that, he didn't really pray.
he would say, turn off the Quran. I don't want to say La ilaha illallah. Put some music on for me. SubhanAllah. Can you imagine, even at the time of death, whatever you were doing in this life, you will probably do at the time of death. So you do it. They say here, you instruct him to say La ilaha illallah. If he does not, then do not repeat more than 3 times. If he begins to speak again, then instruct him. So let's say he's quiet, then he talks again. Then instruct him kindly to say it, okay? If he does, then khalas, that's enough. Yani don't make sure, say it louder. Well, let me take a picture, let me take a video. Khalas, yani the guy is under stress. I know you're laughing, but some people will be like, oh, well, let me take a video of him saying, yani people now, sometimes you see, now with the phones, subhanAllah, sometimes you see people recording something really scary. Somebody that could have used help. And then you watch it, and then you ask yourself, why aren't you helping him? You know, why aren't you helping him? Yani, that person, maybe he needs help, maybe. SubhanAllah, sometimes people get overwhelmed with these recording, etc. And then they say, now, what la ilaha illallah, wa la yuzadu ala thalath, you don't do more than 3, illa an yatakallam fayu'adu birifqin, yani with kindness, right, easily, okay. And طبعاً, you know, usually it's someone that's close to them, right? But it could be something that you're not close with. Maybe you're driving someone. Maybe you're an Uber driver and you're driving someone and he's a Muslim and it's a car crash and maybe he's on his high. You don't know him. So you go easy. Okay? You go easy with them. وَقِرَاءَةُ What else is recommended? They say, وَقِرَاءَةُ الْفَاتِحَ وَيَاسِين Reading Al-Fatiha and Yasin. We have a hadith about Yasin. اقرأوا على موتاكم Yasin. And some say that there's some weakness in Nawawi. He said it's a da'if hadith. There's some weakness in that hadith. But a lot of the ulama use it. And they say Fatiha, يعني قياساً. And they say really any Quran, right? Yasin talks about death a lot, okay? And so it makes sense probably to read Yasin, but there's no problem with that. There's no problem with reading Yasin on the person who's death. If you've read Yasin, it reminds you about death. It talks about yawm al-qiyamah and when they get up from the grave and all these things. It will remind the person about al-maut, right? عنده وتوجيهه إلى القبلة. Also directing the body to the qibla, right? It's something sunnah when you slaughter, when you bury the person, right? To make them face the qibla. Yani this is something that is closer, inshallah. And then, now what about after death? So this is before death. So now what about after death? So now they say, وَإِذَا مَاتَ He says, وَإِذَا مَاتَ Now if he, now خلاص, the last breath came out, he's dead. وَإِذَا مَاتَ When he dies, what's recommended? Number one, تَغْمِيضُ عَيْنَيْهِ تَغْمِيضُ عَيْنَيْهِ يعني closing the eyes. Closing the eyes. We have narration actually from the Prophet Sallam. أَغْمَضَ عَيْنَيْ أَبِي سَلَمَ Right, أَبِي سَلَمَ رضي الله عنه The Rasulullah actually covered his eyes. So this is from the Sunnah, right? To cover the eyes. Someone, khalas, it passes away. You cover their eyes. This is from the Sunnah. تغميضوا عينيه وشدوا لحييه. Okay? And to kind of put close his jaw, right? So, lihya is a beard, right? But really it's called lihya because of the this part here. This is called lihya. And they say it's recommended to close al-lihyayni, right? Because yani it's yani طبعاً when we talk about the dead person, right? We're talking about this is it has a hurma, it has a sanctity, right? And so there's a respect for the body, right? It's not something that is mutilated or something that is uncovered. It's respected, right? So it has a hurma. So it's not nice to leave the mouth open like that. Maybe something will come out, or it just doesn't look good, right? And a person wouldn't like that alive. Why would they like it when they are passed away? So some of the things that the ulama do qiyas on, right? So to close, so you tie it with a band or something, right? You tie it to the top of the head, right? Okay. Also from the sunan is to make his joints flexible. Okay. وَتَلْيِينُ مَفَاصِلَهُ التَّلْيِينُ is to. So how do you do that? Like when. طبعاً now, alhamdulillah, most of your joints are good. تمام? But when the soul leaves, right, and the blood now is cooling and is starting to get more jammed, يعني more stiff, you wanna move. So what they say is like you move the joints up and down. You might move the knees up to the chest, right? This is the person who's going to get him ready, right? You want to do that. So when you're washing the body, you don't have difficulty, because when you're washing the body, you're going to have to move things, and you have to move the, right? We don't appreciate this ni'mah that you can do that. Imagine it was so stiff that you can't move. This is a ni'mah, subhanAllah. It's a good time for us to remember this ni'mah. Imagine it was difficult for you to even turn your head. You know, subhanAllah, this is a ni'mah, يعني, that we don't appreciate. So we do talyin al-mafasil. He says, وَخَلْعُوا ثِيَابَهُ, right? And removing his thiyab, his clothes. طبعاً, some say you do that so the body is not overheating and it starts smelling and going bad, okay? And then they say, وَسِتْرُهُ بِثَوْبٍ وَوَضْعُ حَدِيدَةٍ أَوْ نَحْوِهَا عَلَى بَطْنِهِ, okay? طبعاً, and you cover the person, okay? Cover his private parts, awra, right? The awra in this, while he's alive, is also the awra when the person is passed away, right? You cover his awra with a cloth, because now you're preparing him for, you don't know, one day you might have to wash, you know, a relative, right? Someone might ask, is a man allowed to wash a female? Is a male allowed to wash a female? Huh? على الإطلاق, except? So, and vice versa, right? The husband can wash the wife, and the wife can wash the husband, right? Or if someone is أقل التمييز, less than مميز, يعني someone is less than مميز, someone who's like a young boy, right? Then a male or female is fine. That their relative, obviously, usually it's relatives who want to do that. But in general, men wash the men, and the women wash the woman, right? So from the sunan is to cover his private parts with a cloth, right? وسطره. And then it says, ووضو حديدة أو نحوها على بطنه, to place something heavy like an iron on his belly. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Because طبعاً, the stomach is going to swell, okay? And also we want to try to extract anything that is the intestines and stomach, okay? We want to extract anything. I know this might sound something that is maybe, we're going to talk about some of the things that might not be pleasant, and you might maybe get grossed out, or something that the human being doesn't like. But subhanAllah, this is what we are. One of the ulama, he said that, يعني, oh son of Adam, why are you so arrogant? يعني, why are you متكبر, arrogant, right? يعني, your beginning is a drop of sperm that if it dropped on any one of us, we'd get disgusted, okay, and wash, right? And your ending is a body that stinks, right? And nobody wants to be next to it. Nobody will be able to sit next to you more than a few hours, subhanAllah. And in between, you carry feces, subhanAllah, akramakumullah, right? You're the carrier of feces, subhanAllah. So why are you being so arrogant, subhanAllah? At the time of death, you see that. يعني, we have to extract that. We want to clean the body. So we put something, أو نحوها على بطنه, on his stomach, right? وجعله على سرير, على سرير, نعم. So we want to put him on a kind of like a bed, right? And you'll see that they will say, على سرير غسله متوجها منحدرا نحو رجليه. متوجها يعني القبلة, facing the قبلة. But we make his head a bit higher. So has anybody actually done it here before? Anybody done it here before? Because that would even help us. You've washed the body before? Yeah? And you've seen how the... نعم?
I helped.
Oh, helped. MashaAllah. So, it's not a flat bed. Usually it's tilted a bit. And you can... يعني, the nice ones, you can tilt them like electronically or with a hinge or something. Why? Because you want the water to flow down. Yeah? You're cleaning. You're cleaning now. You want the body, the water to flow down, right? So... covering his private parts, placing something heavy, right, to expel the excretions, to put him on a table or a stand to wash him, right? We put him on a table or a stand. His head should be higher than his feet, so water can roll down his body, right? We place him on a declining position from head to feet. So head up and feet down, right? مُنْحَدِرًا نَحْوَ رَجْلَيْهِ وَإِسْرَاعُ تَجْهِيزِهِ, and to prepare him quickly, right? If there's no reason to delay, you prepare him as quickly as you can. We don't want the body to start smelling bad or to kind of start decaying or anything like that to happen, right? So we try to do it as fast as we can. وَإِسْرَاعُ نَعْمُ, and to do this quickly. And then he says, وَيَجِبُ فِي نَحْوِ تَفْرِيقِ وَصِيَّتِهِ, Now here they're talking about, okay, it's also recommended to try to get his, يعني, all the other things, okay, his shrouding, his covering, his burial, as soon as you can. يعني, if there's no need for delay, don't delay it. It's recommended to increase, to make it. But now they say it's obligatory to do the following after a Muslim's death, which is basically the will and his deaths. And that's what he's saying here. في نحو تفريق وصيته and وقضاء دينه. This is an interesting mas'ala because we have his will. Okay, so if someone made a will or a wasiya, طبعاً, when do you do it? Do you wait after or do you do it right away? Okay, there's khilaf even in the madhab. Okay, is it wajib to do it right away? That's one opinion. The second opinion that it's sunnah to do it right away, and if there's a reason to wait, then there's no problem for that. But you have to execute his will because this is an amana, right? Tamam. And sometimes only few people know the will, and the ones who this might be going to, they don't know it. Subhanallah. But this would be a serious, a major sin for someone to hide that will from its right people, and obviously paying the debts. And this is something serious. Well, طبعا, someone passes away, he's gonna leave inheritance money, right? And so the inheritance is not distributed until what? Until we pay for his burial and kafan and all those things, and we pay his debt. And if there's any people that he owes things, right? Or anything that he owes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you mean he owes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What do I mean by that? He owes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something.
Yeah.
Maybe a fasting, or maybe more serious, something like Hajj. Someone who was wealthy, healthy, able to go Hajj, and he didn't do Hajj. Or maybe he made an oath. Okay, so someone has to pay that for him. And the inheritors are obliged to do that for him before they split the inheritance. Right? Whatever is left, then they can spread it. Tamam? So paying his debts. And we have, subhanAllah, a deen is something serious. Right? It's not haram to get a deen, okay? But it's disliked to do that. Why? Because طبعاً, death can happen anytime. And the person who dies with a debt, right? If someone doesn't pay for him, we have narrations indicating that a person is punished in the grave. Right? And the Prophet ﷺ, there was a janazah one time. And the Prophet ﷺ asked, who can pay the debt of this person? Abu Darda, I believe, said, I can pay it. And then the Prophet ﷺ saw him the next day. Have you paid it? He said, not yet. The next day, not yet. The third day, he said, I paid it. He said, now the punishment has stopped. And so it's something serious that you have died with debt. So you have a mas'aq, so annam.
But there is time to owe somebody to you. And you get to a say, and with the modern. Is it dear?
Sorry, he died, he owed people money, he left wasiyah, and he has money as well. طبعاً, the wasiyah cannot be more than a thuluth, يعني technically some of the ulama.
What about him? She gets children.
So the wasiyah is to pay the debt. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. يعني, if in wasiyah he says, pay the debts for my money, yeah, that's fine. And it makes sense to do that. يعني, طبعاً, because wasiyah can be favors he wants done and distribution of money, and it's not just
they don't pay, it's on them, right?
It's on them. Naam. It's on them. Yeah, because he would have done his due diligence. طبعاً, it's better recommended for him if he can do it while he's alive. And if you have any debts, pay them right away. But طبعاً, it's not allowed for a Muslim تأخير سداد الدين, to delay paying the debt while he's a muisir, someone who's easy for him. Like in al-mu'sir, someone who's in difficulty, that's okay, it's understood. But someone who's able, okay, to pay the debts, it's not allowed for him to not pay it. It's wajib for him to pay it, to pay the person that he owes. طيب, جميل. طيب, so let's talk now about غسل الميت. Now we're talking about washing the deceased. He says, وَإِذَا أَخَذَ فِي غَسْلِهِ, okay, سَتَرَ عَوْرَتَهُ, okay. So the first thing he wants to do, okay, to cover the deceased's private parts, al-awra, right? And طبعاً, the awra of, we've talked about in tahara, the awra of the male man, the awra of the old, okay, the adult male, and we talked about the awra of the one who's under bulugh, right, the mumayyiz, okay, and we talked about the awra of the woman. So you want to cover the awra. It is obligatory to cover the deceased, because is it halal to look at the awra of a strange person? No, right? It's not halal. It's haram to do that, and that counts in life and death, right? And obviously, is it halal now for you to touch someone else's private part? Obviously, no, unless it's husband and wife, of course. It's even more severe to touch, right? So even when you're washing the parts, you'll see that he's gonna talk about using a cloth, or you can use gloves. Yeah, nowadays I think some people will use gloves. You can use a cloth, and they will recommend using than getting three cloths, two for the both private parts and one for the rest of the body. You can wash it and wipe other things. Okay, so it says here, وإذا أخذ غسله ستر عورته, he covers his private part. وسنة ستر كله عن العيون, right? And it's sunnah also to cover the whole place. Don't do it in an open field if you don't have to. Obviously, like in places like in Gaza and other places like that, maybe they don't have a place, even subhanAllah, a rooftop to do it. Then they might do it in an open area, but it's sunnah to do it in a closed area where people can't see it, right? Because you wanna respect the dead person. You don't want people looking, right? And even they say it's not allowed for a person to just be there and just observe for no reason. Maybe unless he's someone who's training or someone who's helping, but for someone to just be there for no reason, that's not something that is recommended. Of course, يعني, if someone was to ask, are we allowed to record it? No, obviously it's not something that should be recorded. That's من باب أولى. Okay. عن عيون وكره حضور غير معين. Yeah, it's disliked for someone who is not helping. Okay. It's disliked for someone who's not to have someone present who does not have a particular task assigned. Okay. Those who are not involved in washing, who are not doing anything, who are not holding, right? So those people, it's disliked for them to be there, okay? ثُمَّ نَوَى وَسَمَّى. So now he begins with the niyyah and, right, and the tasmiyah. When we do ghusl, in this, we talked in tahara, ghusl, we have to make the niyyah, right? And this is a rukun. You need to make the niyyah. Otherwise, it's not going to count as an ibadah, right? And so this is a condition, it's a shart, right? You have to have the niyyah, which is a shart. Some ulama say rukun, but we said it's a shart. And you also have to say bismillah. طبعاً bismillah, if you forget it because it's a wajib, then it's the person is forgiven. So the same thing for him. You're doing it for him, okay? And this is what it says, ثُمَّ نَوَى وَسَمَّى, right? وَهُمَا كَفِي غُسْلِ حَيِّنَ. Yeah, it's just like the washing of the someone or for the someone who's alive. When you do ghusl, you do the niyyah, right? The intention. And you do the bismillah. You say bismillah, and now you're doing ghusl for him. You're doing ghusl for him. Tamam? So we want this person to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of ways, in the state of tahara, right? Inshallah, he's resurrected in the state of tahara. Okay? And then he says, okay, حَيِّن ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُ رَأْسَهُ غَيْرَ حَامِلٍ إِلَى قُرْبِ جُلُوسٍ. Okay? So now he raises his head, okay? رَأْسَهُ غَيْرَ حَامِلٍ, except the one who's pregnant. If it's a woman and is pregnant, you don't want to do it. Allah alam, maybe the infant is still alive, or it might cause it to come out. We don't want that to happen, unless we'll talk about the one who's hamil, right? What's the ruling for that? But they say you bring their head up, okay? So unless it's someone who's hamil, okay? وَيَعْصِرُ بَطْنَهُ بِرِفْقٍ. Remember, now we're still trying to excrete anything that's in the stomach, right? In the intestines, okay? With ease, okay? Then the washer should raise the deceased head and body, unless it is a pregnant woman, close to the position of sitting, right? Remember, we're like this, kind of tilt, okay? Then the washer should press on the stomach gently to expel any excretes, right? And then pour water over the body. So we're trying to get things out of the body, subhanAllah. And it's not easy. And for those who have done it, it's not easy. And whenever something comes out, you pour water and it goes down. And usually you have a bin or something in the bottom where all the filth comes out, okay? برفقٍ ويكثر الماء حينئذ. Yes, whenever something comes from the stomach, from the back, from the behind, right, from the front, okay, you wanna put as much water. Yeah, try to make it, because you wanna purify that place. ثم يلف على يديه خرقة فينجيه بها. نعم. So now he wants to put on his hand a piece of cloth and to wash and to clean, right? Then the washer wraps a piece of cloth on his hand to do istinja for the deceased, right? Al-istinja is what? Is what we do when we wash our private parts, right? Al-istinja, when we use the bathroom, al-istinja is to use water and right, and we said we cannot touch the private part of another person. So he uses a cloth or gloves. Okay, so it is haram to touch the deceased private parts without a barrier. Okay, applies to a deceased who is 7 years of age or older. Right, we said mumayyiz, seven or between seven and puberty is mumayyiz. Right, so anybody younger, that's fine. Okay, because it's not aura for them. Right, so you would use a glove or a piece of cloth. Yeah. And then it says, وَحَرُمَ مَسُّ عَوْرَتِهِ مَنْ لَهُ سَبْعٌ. Okay? نعم. And then he says, then the washer, okay, ثُمَّ يُدْخِلُ إِصْبَعَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِمَا خِرْقَةٌ مَبْلُولَةٌ فِي فَمِهِ فَيَمْسِحُ أَسْنَانَهُ. So now we want to clean inside of his mouth. Okay? We take a wet cloth, okay, and we clean inside of his mouth and his teeth. Okay? His mouth and his teeth. So then the washer should place a piece of small cloth on the two fingers and then makes it a little wet, and then he then cleans the inside of the mouth, the teeth, and also the nose. Okay, yani you clean as much as you can. You don't have to go deep, right? Washer should be careful not to use too much water. This is the alternative to washing the deceased nose and mouth for wudu. Remember, we're doing ghusl for him. We're trying to do wudu for the mayyit. Okay, and then he says, نعم أسنانه وفي منخريه فينظفهما. Yeah, he cleans his nose بلا إدخال ماء. You don't want to put water into the nose. It's going to probably cause something inside the body. ثم يوضئه. Then he does wudu for him, right? Then the washer performs the rest of the wudu for the deceased. This is recommended. Yeah, this is something that is masnoon. It's recommended to finish the whole wudu, right? The hands, the head, the feet. Okay. ويغسل رأسه ولحيتيه برغوة السدر وبدنه بثفله. طيب, so now we want to, now the washer washes the diseased head and beard with the form of a sidr, right? A sidr is a type of it has a nice smell. Okay, it's like a ushab, right? And from the lotus tree, right? The form of it, those who've done it know what that looks like. Okay, and this is something that's recommended in the sunnah. Then the deceased body is washed with the remaining of it. Okay, so from that foam, he washes the beard and the head, like the most noble part, and then the rest of it, you wash the rest of the body. This is something recommended. Okay, they say that it's makruh to use things like soap. Okay, it's makruh to use things like soap. Okay, unless you have to, like unless there's something that won't be removed with soap or anything like that. Okay, and then he says, ثُمَّ يُفِيضُ عَلَيْهِ الْمَاءِ. Then he puts more water on him, right? And what's from the sunnahs? From the sunnahs also is to do it, to pour the body. From the sunnahs is to do it three times. Whatever you're doing, to do it three times, right? To do it three times. And to start from the right side. These are all from the recommended actions, right? تَثْلِيتُ وَتَيَامٌ, right? And to do it from the right side. وَإِمْرَارُ يَدِهِ كل مرة على بطنه. And to keep going over the stomach, try to get whatever is left, right? We want to keep doing that, right? And pouring the body, every time the washer cleans the body, he should press on the deceased stomach, right? So every time he does this on the stomach, he put water, right? With every time he does that. If the deceased continues to expel excretes, right? If things are still coming out, then the washer should increase the pressing as well until all of it is expelled. We want to make sure that by the end of the wash, by the end of the, yani before we finish the wudu and the ghusl, everything comes out. Okay, and then he says, فَإِلَّمْ يَنْقِي زَادَ حَتَّى يَنْقَى. So if three is not enough, we keep doing it until he is cleaned. We do it until he is cleaned. Okay, وَكَرَهُ اِقْتِصَارٌ عَلَى مَرَّةٍ. Yeah, it's makruh to do it just one time. وَمَاءُ حَرٍ, and to use hot water. It's makruh. وَأَشْنَانٌ, like soap and other things. Okay, بِلَا حَاجَةٍ, unless you need it, right? وَتَسْرِيحُ شَعْرِهِ, and to like to comb his hair. Why? Because they say if you do that, the hair might start falling off, right? You might damage the hair, or you might do anything like that. So they say it's disliked, right? And from the sunan also is to use kafur, okay? وَسَنَّ كَافُورٌ. How is it on time? We're almost out of time. وَسَنَّ كَافُورٌ فِي وَسِدْرٌ فِي الْأَخِيرِ فِي الْأَخِيرَ. So it's also sunnah to use camphor, right? Something that smells really nice. It's a kind of type of rushab, right? And a sidr, right? In the last wash, this is something recommended. We also want to make him smell nice, right? So this is something from the sunnah that is recommended to use kafur, camphor, and sidr of the lotus tree. You can mix them with water, and it has like, you know, it cleans and also leaves a very nice smell on the body. And also they say, وَخِضَابُ شَعْرٍ. This is basically to put henna on the hair. For a woman, you can put henna on her hair. Okay, they say avoid black because of some of the narrations about black. But you put henna, maybe colored not close to black, not black. Okay, and for them, for the male, like his beard. Okay, you can do that. وَقَصُّ شَارِبٍ, and any like long mustache, if it's long, you can trim it for them. Okay, وَتَقْلِيمُ أَظَافِرٍ, right? The nails, you cut their nails, right? You're preparing them. Okay, if they're long, وَتَنْشِيف, and then you dry them. Okay, trimming the mustache and clipping the nails, and to dry the deceased before wrapping. Okay, some of the dislikes thing to do is to wash, to do it only once, to use hot water, toothpick or soap. We mentioned those things. Unless you have to, and brushing the hair. And we're almost done here. He says, and then he says, وَيُجَنَّبُ مُحْرِمٌ مَاتَ مَا يُجَنَّبُ فِي حَيَاتِهِ. Okay, if someone dies in a state of ihram, okay, so the muhram who dies in the state of ihram, maybe he's in the time of umrah or hajj, right? Whatever is haram for him during his life in ihram, like what? Like perfume, cutting nails, hair, right? All those things you stay away from. Subhanallah. The ikram unto him, to respect him, okay? So if someone dies in the state of ihram, then whatever is forbidden for the person while in the state of ihram is also forbidden after death. So you don't put perfume, don't cover the head or the face, don't put any stitching on them, right? You don't want to do any of that, okay? وَسِقْتُ الْأَرْبَعَ أَشْهُرْ كَمَوْلُودٍ كمولودي حيًا كمولود حيًا. So now he's going to talk about السقط. They say السقط السقط الذي استكمل أربعة أشهر يغسل ويصلى عليه ولو لم يستهل كما في الإقناع. This is one of the major books in the madhab. So they say that if a woman has a child, okay, يعني in her stomach, and he's above four, then he has the rights like all the other, right? He's washed, he's wrapped, all those things, okay? If he's under, then no. So if a woman loses her child while 4 months or more in pregnancy, then the child's body is washed. If a woman has a miscarriage or abortion in less than 4 months of pregnancy, then the body of the deceased child is not washed. It's not washed, okay? Because that's when the ruh is blown into it. This is one of the opinions of the ulama, right? After the 4 months. So less than 4 months, it's not washed because the ruh was not blown into him. It's not really a person. After 4 months, yes, you do that. And you wash and you give them the four rites, yani the prayer, the washing, the wrapping, the burial. That's for one who's 4 months and more. وَإِذَا تَعَذَّرَ غُسْلِ مَيِّتٍ يُمِّمْ. Interesting. So if someone, you cannot wash their body, what are we going to do now? Huh? What might be a reason we can't wash his body?
Like
in COVID, like there was a lot of debate. This was a mas'al in COVID. We don't want to touch. Some people said, from medical recommendations, we don't want things to spread. What if his body is burnt or it might cause damage or whatever it is, right? Or it's already damaged. It's hard to wash it, right? So then you do tayammum. The person does tayammum for him. The ghasil, the one who's supposed to be washing, does tayammum for that person, okay? They use tayammum, okay? Now. وَسُنَّةَ تَكْفِينُ رَجُلٍ فِي ثَلَاثِ. We're almost done. And it's sunnah for the male to use three pieces, okay, shrouding the deceased. It's sunnah to use three wraps, okay? It's sunnah to use three wraps. You know what? Maybe we'll stop here. We'll do the shrouding, inshallah, next class, inshallah. So we'll stop here. But inshallah, next week, we're going to talk about shrouding, like wrapping. What do we wrap them with? What's the minimum? What's the recommended? What about a woman? Is it the same as a male, right? We'll talk about that, bi'idhnillah. We'll talk about salatul janazah, the actual prayer of janazah. We'll talk about the burial, and then we'll talk about like visiting, like what does the Sharia say about visiting and mourning and grief and all those that. Bismillah, inshallah, that will be next week. We'll stop. Now, tafadhal.
If a woman died and she has a baby like within 6 months, it is allowed to stay like there until they die?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Inshallah, I'll get an answer for you by next week, inshallah. Because that baby has to be washed and buried. Tamam. And so, yeah, so how does it removed? I don't know if there's any doctors here. Can it be removed while it's while the mother is dead? Yeah, Allah alam, I'm not sure if it needs to be removed with a cesarean surgery or any kind of surgery. Then if there's a hajj for it, yes, yeah, it will be removed that way. But if it can come out naturally, which Allah alam, I guess when the body is dead, it cannot.
That's the same.
If it's relaxed, yeah, Allah alam, yeah. So maybe Allah alam, yeah. This is something that needs some research, maybe some to look it up. But inshallah, we'll have an answer for next week. Allah alam. JazakAllah khair. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.